Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by, and welcome to Isatec's conference call for the results for the second quarter 2018. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode. Ensuing this, there will be a question-and-answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant require assistance of the operator during the call, please press star zero. Today's live webcast and audio and slideshow may be accessed at internet at www.isatec.com.br/ri. Once again, the slideshow presented by the management is available there. Before continuing, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements made during this call are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and are information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties as they relate to future events, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Isatec and cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. With us today, we have Reinaldo Pecchio, CFO and IRO, Carlos Ribeiro, Technical Director, Weberson Abreu, Project Officer, and Rafael Noda, Institutional Relations Officer. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Pecchio, who will begin the presentation. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you, and a good morning to all of you. It's always good to share the results of the semester and to refer to our financial results and outlooks. I'm going to speak about the details of this semester and refer to the soundness of the company. For cash generation, we had a very positive result for the semester. Once again, we're working on the projects that we're executing and new projects that we will begin to put in practice with a very good perspective. It is very pleasurable, therefore, to present to you all of these results. I would like to thank you for your presentation and thank the team for the work to be able to achieve these results. We have also worked to be able to make this presentation that I will now remark on. I will begin with slide number three, referring to the highlights. As always, we would like to draw your attention to some important points. In terms of financial results, we have a strong cash generation. With the receipt of RBSE, we have had a notable semester. In terms of the regulatory results, net revenues of 739 million, adjusted EBITDA 683 million with a 92% margin, and net income of 342 million. Once again, these are important highlights for the closing of this semester. In terms of projects, we have organic growth with the execution of reinforcements and improvements and a schedule that may vary from one quarter to the other. The message is that we have worked in such a way as to always be innovative, to comply with specifications, and to, of course, guarantee adequate profitability levels. This is something that we have achieved, and we have investments of 45 million in terms of reinforcement and improvement. Of course, sustainable growth through the projects that I will refer to further ahead. In operational subsidiaries, the equity income result of 22 million, a CapEx of 15 million, and once again,
Further in the presentation, we will refer to the performance of subsidiaries through this. When it comes to regulation, we have just received information referring to the annual readjustment of RAB for the 2018-2019 cycle, which will also contribute to our results and to improving the future cash for the company. Another important aspect that had been postponed is a periodic tariff revision postponed for 2019 with retroactive effects with the definition in 2019. In terms of the auctions, we successfully bid for two lots at the annual auction 02-2018, allowing us a further $48 million for RAP. The execution of the projects that we have from previous auctions are aligned with our schedule, and we should be able to have an early delivery as we have communicated to the market. We have Itaquera and Itapura that began their construction work in May and July, which is also very good news as part of our execution schedule. When it comes to our proceeds, we have already spoken about the proposal to distribute at least 75% of net income, limiting leverage to a maximum of 3x the net debt EBITDA ratio, and the distribution of interim dividends of $760 million, as has already been announced. These, therefore, are the highlights for the second quarter. And now I would like to refer to each of the items of the company results. We go on to slide number 4 to speak about the consolidated net revenue. And we carry out our own analysis, focusing on the regulatory figures, as this is the best approximation that we have for the company cash. In the second quarter of 2017 to 2018, we have an increase of 181% with the contribution of the receipt of RBSE of $446 million. For the semester, we had an evolution of 178%, going from $530 million to $1.471. These are the main points. The main one, of course, is the RBSE, consolidation of O&M, and an adjustment of variation of IPCA, and the coming into operation of new investments in reinforcement and improvements that have also contributed to this growth. I would like to underscore that regarding the RBSC, in the first cycle of 2017-2018, we received $1.6 million, helping us in cash generation, as you will see further ahead. These are the highlights for the consolidated net revenue, and we will now go on to slide number 5 to refer to O&M costs, consolidated general expenses. We had a cost evolution because of a lower capitalization of 5 million reais during the semester and because of the bargaining agreement. These are normal changes with, of course, some contingency reversals and an increase in personnel because of the wage bargaining agreement and a change in methodology, reducing the capitalization by 1.4 million. Another point I would like to draw your attention to is that we have been working towards implementing an asset management system. which means that the company is working on asset management, focusing on the cost, risk, and performance factors for companies that have already progressed using this line of work. We are able to advance in terms of maintenance. We not only focus on CAPEX or on investment made, but also on other concepts, for example, the cost of maintaining items that are added to our fixed assets. And this is something that is coming about so that in the future we can benefit from this. The next slide, slide number 6, shows you the regulatory equity income, where we can observe the significant variation during the quarter due to the result of IEMA data that was booked in the second quarter of 2017 and the negative adjustment parcel, referring to the return of the RAP from IEMA data. Without this impact, we had a growth in equity income to 28 million for 6 months, and in the 6 month, an accrued figure of 34 million. And we had a growth of 238 million, going from 3 to 42 million in the quarter that ends in July of 2018. The next slide, number 7, shows you the regulatory consolidated EBITDA. And here we can see the evolution in the company and the very strong cash generation and the margins that I would like to underscore as well. I will not go into the details of each line item, but the adjusted EBITDA went from 132 million to 682 in the second quarter of 2018, a growth of 253%. In the 6 months, 411 million to 1,000, and some a growth of 233% with a margin of 92% for the quarter and 93% for the semester. Now, if we remove the RBSC, the figures are quite good here with an evolution of EBITDA of 182 between the second quarter 2017 to the second quarter of 2018 and 411 million for 2017 to 467 million now at the closing of the first semester of 2018, with a significant evolution of 73% from 2017, and for the semester, 77 to 82%. These are figures, therefore, showing a very good evolution in EBITDA and consequently in the company's cash generation.
The next slide, slide number 8, we have the financial results where we had our main variations as a result of the yield of investments. We had greater cash during this period and also an increase of indebtedness, an increase of expenses because of all the funding for the stage of growth of the company that is being described in liability and interest rates. These are because of the entrenchments of our debt. Finally, when we see all these details on the former slides, here we have slide number 9. Here you can see the regulatory net income, where we had a growth during the quarter when we compare quarter of 2017 with this quarter of 18 of 356%, going from 75 million to 342, and in the semester a growth of 285%, going from 168 million to 647 million. Because of the receipt of the RBSE, the consolidation, and also net income
equity income of the company, increase of equity income. So we had an increase in regulatory net income. The next slide, number 10, we can show the cash flow of the company, the managerial cash flow. And I would like to highlight some figures that are very important. Number one, our RAB receivables of 1,636. We also had a CapEx of 195 million. It also additional loans of 622 million with a settlement of loans between principal and interest of 108 million. And we highlight the 843 million in paid dividends that took place during the semester with the evolution of the cash flow and investments of 647 million at the end. To 851 million. This is something that was carried out throughout the activities that you see in our cash flow. Now on slide 11 here, you can see consolidated debt of the company where we can observe a growth of our gross debt of 31% from 1,943 to 2,548 during at the end of June, and consolidated availability going to 851 from 617, and the consolidated net debt grew 28% going from 1,326 to 1,927, but at very comfortable levels. And we believe that this action will be carried out in a very safe place with funding within we have already done. And this can also be compared to other issues of the market. The last two slides, we highlight a bit the growth of the company. One of them would be on slide number 12. We have a number of images where we can show you the beginning of the construction work. Itapura, that started in May of 2018, and Itaquiri, that started in July. Here you can see that within our challenging schedule, we are fulfilling our schedule, and we already have these two construction works ongoing. During the second semester, we expect to have Itaúna here in order to advance in our execution timeline. And very recently, we have Ibagis that will also start. In brief, our last slide here, this summarizes what we have done in the company and how we have practiced the exercise of growth within the company in order to maintain our levels in terms of size, in terms of revenue. This is a result of the RBSE where we're trying to carry out sustainable investments with good profitability. And here we mention some points that we focus on with these projects and all the areas that are part. These are clauses, the successful clauses of our contracts, engineering solutions, in order to reduce risks and increase return, robust balance sheet makes for competitive capital structure, a track record of project execution that has been very successful in the company. So we have won a number of auctions and we are within the schedule. The expertise in O&M that is differential, also incentivized funding at lost cost, also anticipating startup and operation that is a major differential in order to attain profitability and optimization of CapEx. Therefore, I believe that this closes. With this, I end the presentation of the second quarter of 2018. And it is very good to end showing that we are growing. And I would like to highlight this, not only what we have won in our auctions, but also to show that we have new auctions
and all of them are within our schedule. These are the main important points that we wanted to highlight in this presentation regarding the second quarter of 2018. And now we will hold our Q&A session to our participants. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now we will hold our Q&A session. To pose a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question from the list, please press star 2. Our first question from Marcelo Sapo, UBS. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. A question regarding to brownfield investments. Anil recognized that the new cycle will have 60 million wrapped because of brownfield investments, and this is higher than what we expected. I believe that you were talking about 200 million in investment, and this with 30 million of wrap, and the cycle was higher than what we expected. This perhaps shows that the return of brownfield is better than what we expected. Could you please elaborate on brownfield, the level of return on brownfield that is more attractive than greenfield? And if we see the future, if we could expect an addition of wrap of 60 million or more to more 30, like you mentioned. Thank you very much, Marcelo. When we talk about improvements or investment and improvements, we really can't see stable quarters. This depends on authorization and the schedule of construction work. It is very difficult to be able to foresee if we're going to have quarters very similar regarding the performance. So the guidance is valid. We had a quarter that was exceptional, and what we have tried to do in a different way is to have profitability with improvements. I believe that the company has strongly worked on this, and we have been recognized for this. People from engineering, people from supply, people from the technical area allow us to intervene properly with no major impact. So this is a number of people that are working so that we can have very good returns with improvements. Now, this does not mean that we can say that we are going to do this in detriment to growth. We believe that these are two different lines. We have organic growth that has to be followed, and that this is something that I mentioned. And we also have growth through options and M&A. And here we're talking about projects that are bigger projects. There are some risks associated, but we are confident to say that we have knowledge and that we are sure that this part of growth will also be explored. So it is not if or no, we are trying to do one and another in a successful way. Thank you very much. Could you also elaborate? You won two lines during the last auction. One was in Santa Catarina with a bid of the maximum wrap. I would like to know what kind of, if you would build a line in São Paulo, what kind of EBITDA margin would you expect this project from Santa Catarina to give you? Could you give us more details regarding this? Now, the margin, we have not disclosed this, and we assure this, and this is something that the company does, is to have profit of 2 digits in each one of our projects, and we pursue this, and our bid was to attain a 2-digit profitability. Now, the points that allow us to be aggressive in our bid we have already mentioned this, but we strongly work with, you know, early participation in the operation. So there is a sector that allows us to improve profitability, and also CapEx with the drop of CapEx in a different way, meeting technical specifications is also something that we have done. I believe that we have been very successful in our negotiations and to embark in the market when we were able to find partners that also found an opportunity and helped us in this bid. And this resulted in a lower CapEx than what we had anticipated. And another point would be financing lines. I believe that we have a very solid company with low leveraging that has allowed us to have gains in our project, and we have been able to fund resources here. So in a nutshell, this is what we have announced to the market. Our commitment is not growing for the sake of growing. It's growing with profitability and within the our timelines, like these challenging schedules, this means to be able to anticipate, and we are working along these lines. Okay, thank you very much. Just piggybacking on the financing line and the idea to, would this be, what kind of profit is this? Could we do 100, could be 100% leverage? My question is, when you calculate your return, do you consider to re-leverage this project, or you consider if you're going to finance some part in debt, you pay it in 20 years and there is no leverage? In your figures, do you consider re-leveraging or not?
Well, we understand that the company and the projects, as we're speaking about very profitable projects, will be able to maintain their leverage during the lifespan of the project. When we take up these projects, we maintain these conditions, and the leveraging should take place during most of the project's lifespan. And of course, when you're at the end of the project, it is evident that you will have a natural deleveraging, but what we foresee is to maintain the deleveraging throughout the entire project. Thank you very much, and thank you for taking my question. The next question is from Andy Sampaio from Banco Santander. Good morning, and I would like to ask a very simple question. Your level of provisions, we have seen several semesters with different levels, and I would like to have an idea if this will become more normalized and which would be the right amount of provision for the future. Thank you, Andre, and I understand that you're asking about our contingency provisions as part of our results. Perhaps you will remember that some time ago we deployed great efforts of revising the way that we contracted our work, and we also reflected upon our balance to see which would be the best way to work with provisions. And the solution we came up with was to discuss what was being done to be ensure that we would be successful. We don't have provisions for reversals. We have had several favorable provisions for the company through this careful analytic work. And I would like to say that this reversal, in our understanding, should continue to take place. Now, I cannot give you a figure. We're very close to being at a stable level of provisions. Of course, when it comes to our environment, there are new cases that will lead to a change in this level of provisioning. But this reversal that we're doing has taken place. We imagine that it will continue on for some time, but once again, I cannot give you a solid figure. we can hope to have expressive reductions in terms of this, and I think we're very close to reaching a more stable situation. Thank you very much, and if you allow me, looking forward, once this has become normalized, which will be the provisions per revenue? Will they be the same that you had in the past? I'll attempt to explain this in a different way. If you look at what we have in our liabilities in terms of provisioning, this will increase because of the restatements that we have to do. But because of the favorable decisions or agreements that we have reached, the trend is to maintain stability. This does not mean that we will not have an increase in provisions. We could have this. But once again, we believe that this will be a limited growth and once again, due to the restatement that we have in our liability. The next question is from Vitor Souza from Brasil Plural. A good day to all of you. And my question is linked to the second question made by Marcelo Sá. You have acquired two lots in the last transmission auction, and a priori there was a consortium with Taesa. The rate was of 50%, I believe, and then Taesa announced that they were leaving the consortium. I would like to better understand if there was an explanation of why they were withdrawing from this lot, if we keep in mind the profitability that you are expecting. It seems to be very interesting. And I would like to understand if Taesa offered their rationale for not participating in this project jointly with you. Vitor, you have referred correctly to the events, but not in the order in which they took place. What happened was a manifestation made by Taesa before the auction stating that it would withdraw from the consortium. It has withdrawn from Lot 1, and we have withdrawn from Lot 19. Differently from what happened in the past, we had a separation in blocks of lots, and Taesa carried out some technical studies. Other studies were carried out by Isa Setepi with a discussion of the premises, and because of the evolution of this process, we ended up understanding that all of the premises that had been included in the discussion, we understood, therefore, that the proposal that was considered made a great deal of sense because it included the factors that I included of anticipating coming into operation a reduction of CAPEX. And it all came to the point where, I'm trying to give you a very objective explanation. Perhaps Taesa can explain this more objectively. But I believe that they probably opted for going with those lots that they had initially bid for, and then they withdrew from that. I reiterate that they manifested their intention to withdraw before the auction, and once again, we do believe that this lot will deliver to us the two digits that we base ourselves on. Now, Taesa announced this publicly, and they sent a material fact only after the auction. That is why I am unaware of the fact that they may have manifested their desire previous to the auction. Thank you for your answer. Thank you for your remark. And this is what happened. And I can guarantee that all of this took place before the auction, probably due to some internal issue. And Taesa only manifested this desire after the auction. The next question is from Vinicius from HSBC. Good morning to all of you, and thank you for the call. You mentioned in your press release that you are analyzing the possibility of storing energy. If we could get wind of how your discussions are taking place, which would be the formatting of these projects, and which is the business segment that this would complement for you. Vinicius, thank you very much for your comment. I will give the floor to Mr. Ribeiro, who will refer to this process. A good morning to all of you. The energy storage segment has proven to be extremely promising as a segment, and of course, it could have an impact on all of the areas of the power segment. And it has an enormous potential because through this system of storing energy, we can not only control the sequence of the system by having the storage available, we can also carry out a better control of tension of the load. And the storage system comes into a context of what is called a non-wire provision. That is to say, all of this is done without having an increase in the transmission lines. Because of this, you can see that it has great potential. We already have received a proposal for a project in the northern coast of Sao Paulo with a very good outlook, and we're working with a strategic project in the midterm to study the storage throughout all of its features and characteristics and to analyze the regulatory issues. This perhaps is the most complex issue because presently we have no regulation when it comes to the use of storage batteries. Now, this strategic project is being addressed, and we intend to do it at a faster pace using a practical event. For example, the event in the northern coast of Sao Paulo. In our understanding, technically, it would be very interesting to be able to use storage batteries to resolve these timely problems. And in conventional ways, in substations and lines, this could be a lengthy process, and batteries, of course, could resolve this issue. We're working with a new business outlook. We're analyzing it in depth, and we believe in it from the technical viewpoint. Nevertheless, the definite implementation will still require a regulation for the battery. Vinicius, good morning, and thank you very much for the question. This is a topic that we're very enthusiastic about from the viewpoint of business models. As Carlos mentioned, we have two main factors. One is to incorporate the storage technology as being a solution for specific transmission issues, the topic of the northern coast. That shows us that we could resolve a problem of seasonal load with the storage of energy instead of building new transmission lines with a lower environmental impact and in a more sustainable way. Now, the regulatory path could be very similar to what we have at present. We need to make investments, and there will be a remuneration for the availability of these facilities and the possibility of having new businesses or services, auxiliary services, or time-sharing, arbitrage of energy, and well, thinking more in the long term, now this all could be considered from the viewpoint of new revenues, where we would share the profit and capture profit through the company or through a new regulation as we see happening in other countries. What is under discussion is a new model for the power sector that arises from Public Consultation 73, and this poses the opportunity of creating a regulatory framework that will enable us to make profitable investments in storage. We are truly convinced about the technical potential of the use of storage. It would represent a new business niche, and that is why we are analyzing this possibility. And we believe that in a relatively short term, we will be able to better define this. Very well. Thank you very much. The next question is from Marcelo Sa from UBS. If you allow me another question referring to a regulatory issue, what if somebody decides to lease the optic fiber capacity? What would happen when it comes to sharing this with a consumer? Are there any explicit issues about the tariff of having to divide the profit 50% with the consumer? What would happen in the case of optic fiber, for example, used for telecommunication? Good morning, Marcelo. This is Rafael Noda. Yes, there is a rule, and recently it was presented to a public hearing. We have several contracts where we share the telecom infrastructure, not only optic fiber, we can share other infrastructure as well with a presumed margin for each type of business. And this notional margin is split once as profit for the company or also split with consumers. If you could give us greater information in terms of which is the percentage that the company keeps and what goes to the consumers. We have a list of the type of activities that are based on notional margin for each activity. I don't remember the margin for each different activity, but all of this has been foreseen in regulation. And simply to have an idea of the magnitude, would this revenue be significant or something minor? We heard the declarations of the people from Starlight that were considering this as a business. And we would like to know if this will be a relevant business or if Starlight has been very aggressive. So I would like to gain a better understanding of the type of revenue you would obtain. Nowadays, our revenue from this is from 20 to 30 million. Now, the magnitude, the potential of this for other businesses is something that we would have to estimate. But without a doubt, this is a business that, yes, can generate value. Now, Marcelo, if you would like to hear more about the details of the regulation, anybody at our IR department can help you with this information.
Our next question from Vera Kashin, Votorantim Bank. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for the call. The question is to know if the company could update us around Rio Madeira, if the electrode correction schedule is according to what's expected, and if there will be a correction by the end of the year, and the extension of the tariff review for 2019 on the company side. If there's a negotiation, is there wiggle space for ANEEL to contribute? What can we expect? Do you believe that the company could change something regarding this side? Okay, I am going to answer the first question, and then we will talk about regulation regarding Madeira River. We have an execution scheduled to fronts of work. The electrode is being executed within our schedule. And also the transmission line is being connected out of these two fronts. We expect to end it up till October. So in reality, we are working within our schedule. The construction works are underway. So this means that we have contracted everything that is necessary. And this will end during the last quarter of this year. This is, regarding the electrode, everything is underway and everything is according to schedule. And regarding your other point, could you please repeat the second part of your question about the tariff review that was extended to 2019 with retroactive effects? Does the company still have a wiggle room for contribution, and what could we expect from this outcome? Yes, I believe that there is plenty of wiggle room for contribution, okay? So, well, we have RAP of OM, that is the management of benchmark models. We also have the regulatory off and also the prices in benchmarking. We believe that we strongly believe in our contributions. There have been some changes of rules in the middle of the way that I believe will be corrected, like margin recognition because of quality. Another is specific terms of the statistic model that is used. We also expect to have a new stage and a new public hearing now in semester. Although in this public hearing, we want to strengthen our contribution. Now, regarding regulatory matters, in our opinion, this was a relevant victory, not only for the company, but for the entire sector, because we want to discuss an area for the electrical sector in transmission, a WACC. So there are some parameters that are universal, like market retrieval, that are different segments that are lower for us. And we expect to have a discussion next year, and that the joint action of this segment would result in regulatory justice and greater stability that will be positive for the sector by and large. Now, three, the prices and public hearing, we have been able to make progress in terms of separating the type of projects. We've had a positive result because services are recognized for those replacement construction work. And the challenge here is to recognize differences because of gains of scale, because we want the recognition to be superior and for smaller construction work. And in terms of equipment, we will be able to negotiate. And I would like this to be recognized in remuneration. One thing is to buy equipment for one replacement, and another thing is to buy equipment for a major construction work that is represents much more. These are other things that we're pursuing in order to improve our price bank. Thank you. As we have no further questions, I would like to hand it over to Mr. Pecchio for his final remarks. Once again, we had the opportunity to talk about our company, our growth, and with very excellent results, and we are at your disposal through our communication channels and also through our investor relations team to answer any further questions you may have. Thank you very much for participating in our conference call. Isatecepi's conference call has come to an end. We would like to thank all of you for your participation and have a very good day.